Welcome to the C-Suite podcast that we are recording at Shop Talk here at the Mandalay Bay, Las Vegas. My name is Russell Goldsmith, and together with Graham Barrett, we'll be interviewing a number of the speakers and attendees here at the event.
We're producing this episode in partnership with Bread Financial, a tech-forward financial services company providing simple, personalized payment lending and saving solutions. Really hope you enjoy the show.
So I'm now joined by Sophie Vavreau, the global president of Shop Talk. Sophie, you must be the busiest person here, so thank you so much for spending some time with us.
No, I mean, typically for these kinds of things, the general rule of thumb is if everything's going well, then I'm very unbusy, actually.
That's a good sign.
Everything's going well so far, so yes. So I'm very happy to be sitting down.
That's great. Well, listen, let's start by maybe just giving us a little bit of background to Shop Talk. Kind of where did it all begin and where are you now?
Sure. So our first show was actually relatively recently. 2016 was the first Shop Talk show. We started out at the Aria down the road, still in Las Vegas, and that was about a 2,000-person show, so quite small,
wow.
modestly sized, we'll say, but very, very impactful. We were started by technology founders, so people coming from the technology space. They'd previously been working in fintech and started a very, very successful fintech event and had seen a space where nobody was really bringing together people who had different sides of the same conversation to have, you know, so people who wanted to have the conversation about what 5 years ahead in retail was going to look like and to bring together the people who were going to help the industry get there. So it was a real ecosystem show that they were trying to create, not a sort of buy-side, sell-side show, not a show bringing together people who wanted to procure tech and people who sold tech, but really trying to bring together a community that was going to build something together. So that was the kind of origin story of Shop Talk, and it's grown very, very quickly. So we're now a show of about 10,000 people every year, with a small break for COVID. We're an annual show. And so we are, we've gone from strength to strength and have had a really, really fantastic year with some fantastic sponsors and some fantastic attendees coming in. So yeah, ready for our best edition yet.
That's amazing. To think that you were only 2,000 just a few years ago, because this place is enormous. It's huge.
And yes. So,
well done on that success.
It's a bit of an epic mission to get from one end to the other.
It certainly is. Tell us about the main objectives then for this year's show.
There are sort of three component pieces to Shop Talk and lots of kind of outside pieces. The two bits that we really focus on are we call them conversations and connections, and those kind of come through in a variety of ways. So we have a very, very extensive content program. We have about 45 hours of content going on this week across six stages, one main stage and five smaller stages. And that kind of covers off the insight and inspiration portion of what we do. And so what we really see those as is kind of conversation sparking moments. Our speaker community is very, very senior, but so is our delegate base, actually. So we don't see that as kind of a panel of leaders showing others the way. We see it very much as kind of the start of a conversation amongst senior people that will be continued by senior people on the show floor. So content is definitely part of that. The other piece of what we do is the sort of connections part, and that happens through our meetings program, Meetup at Shop Talk, and also obviously on our exhibit floor where we are right now. So our Meetup is one of the biggest meetings programs in the world. We think possibly even the biggest meetings program in the world, although hard to verify. So what we're really aiming to do over the course of this week is bring together as many different varieties of people working within the retail and tech ecosystem as possible in order to really work out and understand and build the connections that are going to transform the industry, transform how people discover, shop and buy is the way we talk about it.
Yeah, that Meetup area, it reminded me of that scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark where they panned out and there's those rows and rows and rows. I mean, hundreds of tables and meetings going on, and the timer that tells you on to the next one, and it must be thousands of meetings.
It's just under 2,000 tables, and we have 19 sessions. So
do the math.
Yes, you can do the maths on how many sessions we're ending up with.
Yeah.
It's it's a real undertaking, actually, that meetings program, and it's, I think, the real Shop Talk secret sauce.
Yeah.
Really bringing all those people together. All of those meetings are double opted in, as we say, which basically means that nobody is there because we've asked them to be. Everybody is there taking the meetings that that they want to take. Everybody has chosen those meetings. There is no sort of AI component to it, so to speak. There's no recommendation engine. People have chosen who they would like to meet. And the only kind of the clever part behind the scenes is the scheduling and maximizing the number of meetings that take place and really kind of optimizing for that. But it does mean, tens of thousands of meetings taking place this week.
And of course, apart from, as well as that content program, you've got your Shop Talk TV as well, haven't you, Gary?
We do.
Mind giving a plug to another online content provider. But who have you been interviewing on there?
Oh, it's really, really interesting format. So what we wanted to do really with Shop Talk TV was kind of twofold. One was to bring together our content and our expo. So we really wanted to have some moments in the expo hall and around the venue really where people who were not currently sitting in content could get a feel and a flavor for what was going on elsewhere in the show and get some of that sense of expertise from some of the different people who are participating in the program in different places. And the other really was to engage our community that are not here. So really to give a kind of behind the scenes glimpse of what you could have had, I guess. And really a little kind of flavor of insight. So it's a mix of some of our speakers coming off the stage and doing, I guess, kind of an unplugged version of their set, so to speak. So a mix of that, some industry commentators coming in to talk about the trends that they're seeing and hearing while they're here. And then some fun formats as well. We've got some podcast recordings. We've got some interviews with people like our startup pitch winners. We actually have in the corner of our meetup area, we have an aerial camera that's showing an overview of what's going on when that's taking place. And some interviews with our team as well. So a really nice moment for people to understand, what goes into making a show this size, some of how we make our decisions. And that hopefully gives people a bit of an idea of how to provide feedback to us, of how we can make the show better. We're always looking to refine and become more efficient and let our customers be more efficient when they're here. So part of that is the more real we can be with people about what we do and why we do it and why we make the decisions that we make, the better we can get to the answer of how we can do it better for them.
Yeah. And with all these things going on, what do you think are going to be the kind of key highlights that people are going to take away from the event?
Oh, it's a really, really good question. I there's kind of a few buckets I would put things in, I suppose, of things I'm excited about. One is just the fantastic speakers. I mean, the quality of the speakers is second to none. I mean, we have on the main stage in the opening alone, we have, Colleen Aubrey, who's the SVP of ads at Amazon, just unbelievably senior and with, such an enormous purview, talking about the future of retail media, from, arguably the best placed person in the whole industry to comment on that. We also have, the CEO of Macy's speaking for the very first time since he was appointed last week, Tony Spring, talking about what he's going to be doing with Macy's in a very, very, I've seen a kind of a preview of his session, and it's a very real, very honest, very open look at some of the good and bad, hard decisions that they're having to make as a business and what he's excited about. And that goes all the way through CEO of Bath & Body Works, CEO of Canada Goose, CEO of Kohl's. It's a non-stop kind of hit parade on the content front. And then also from a personal perspective, I mean, this is always a wonderful week for me to see the culmination of so many months of hard work from the team and to really see something we've only seen in sort of schematics come to life is just a wonderful moment. I'm particularly excited for some of the sort of design moments that we have in the show. Really clever, beautiful moments of connection for people. And our SVP, Mike Antonecchia, who looks after this show, calls them the dirty water hot dog moments. And you can kind of look up online the dirty water hot dog moment, what that means. But just really finding those moments to surprise and delight people, help them do what they do better. Really lovely touch points that we have our first ever first timers program here. So, moments where people can come and really understand what they do, how to get best use out of Shop Talk most quickly. We have Shop Talk Kids downstairs, which is our kindergarten taking place. So we have, I think, about 15 kids downstairs in our creche. Just lots and lots of lovely moments that we're really proud of building. But the content is always just second to none at Shop Talk and a real source of pride for the team.
Yeah, that's great. And so let's finish off. What's next for Shop Talk?
Oh, so many things. Hard to pin down. So we have three have historically had three shows in the ShopTalk portfolio. So there's ShopTalk Spring, the one that we're at, ShopTalk Europe in Barcelona, and Grocery Shop, which is back in Vegas in the fall. But this year we're adding for the first time a new show in Chicago, which we're very, very excited
about.
As if
you don't have enough work to do.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? And also that's not even the end of it, because we just announced just at the start of this week, we're announcing the launch of a new, we call it a show within a show, a new part of ShopTalk, a really significant new part of ShopTalk called The New Market, which is for the media, advertising, marketing, or you know, the attention economy part of what we do, which is a really exciting new stretch for us. So we've just been talking about that for the first time this week, really, with customers. So ShopTalk Fall in Chicago is our big new project, followed very closely by the new markets at ShopTalk 2025.
Right. So, and where's the Chicago one going to take place if people want to register?
Yep, so you can head to fall.shoptalk.com if you want to take a look at what's going on there. We have some amazing keynotes already lined up. CEO of Ulta, I won't list the whole lot, you can go and have a look, but some really amazing people. And that's taking place in McCormick Place in Chicago from the 16th to the 18th of October.
Amazing. Well, listen, good luck with that event in Chicago. Good luck with the next couple of days. Really appreciate you taking some time out of the busy schedule. So Sophie Vavreau, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
So I'm here with Leah Screlly, the VP Head of FinTech Business Development at Bread Financial. Leah, thanks so much for joining us. I thought maybe we could start, if you can just give us a good overview of Bread Financial, how the company's structured maybe.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you for the chance to speak with you today. Bread Financial as a whole is a payments company that focuses on a strong technology layer. We offer personalized solutions across a number of different areas. The three pillars I'd say that we offer are revolving lines of credit, so co-brand and private label. We have a fintech arm that we call Bread Pay that offers installment loans and Pay in 4. And then we offer a number of deposit and lending products as well.
Excellent. Now, you just mentioned BreadPay there. That's one of the areas I wanted to focus on. Tell us how that's come about, the history of it, and how that's evolved.
Yes, that's my baby. So I run the sales team for BreadPay. I actually was chief of staff when we were still a startup, and it's been a bit of a full circle moment. But let me take you back to the beginning of BreadPay.
Sure.
BreadPay was started in 2014 by two lawyers who actually were at one of these conferences and saw the tech and saw what millennials were really asking for in the next version and the next generation of payments. So they set out to build a fintech that focused on doing right by the customer and doing right by the merchant. On the merchant side, it was a simple ask. Give the merchants the ability to offer financing and sell more. Do not cross-sell their customers, and be transparent in what you're offering them. Give them something that they can pass on. The company grew steadily over the next 5 or 6 years. It has two of the earliest patents on modal and no redirect experiences. And in 2020, it found its match with Alliance Data. Alliance Data purchased BreadPay at the time in December of 2020, and the rest is history. BreadPay joined the Alliance Data family. We are now rebranded as Bread Financial as a whole, and we continue to grow.
And so this all sits within the BNPL space. What's your current strategy? What's Bread Financial's current strategy within that?
It's multi-pronged. On the direct side, we focus on two main channels, our e-commerce channel and our in-store channel. In in-store, we're really excited. We launched a partnership with Marqeta and Visa recently, where we're able to offer our installment loan in-store without the need of an app, and really reducing the time that a customer would need to apply and ultimately check out in-store. So direct is a major focus for us. We've also got a major focus around partnerships. We're able to integrate with financial and non-financial partners, embed in their ecosystems. We can do the lending for those programs, or we can actually go and just be headless. So it's their balance sheet, it's their back end, but it's our technology. I like to say that we're your favorite fintech's favorite fintech.
Nice. How would you say this differs then from other players within the market?
Both Alliance Data, now Bread Financial, and BreadPay shared this vision of white labeling.
Okay.
And when I think about white labeling, I don't think about the marketing component of it, right? That's part of it where you can blend it to somebody's brand. But it's more about an experience. And we never put our brand above the customers. We have no interest in disintermediating a merchant and a consumer. We grow when the partner grows. In the old card days, we used to say, your name on the front, ours on the back. And we still believe that to this day. I also think we really have a unique understanding of the parent payment paradigm. The split between loyalty and flexibility. And I think when you're able to offer the full payment suite, so you go from cards to installment loan to Pay in 4, you're giving the customer what they need at that moment and growing with them and providing them that not just that product, but the next 3 or 4.
You mentioned a couple of your partners just before. Can you share any other partnerships that you've got coming up in the pipeline?
We do, and I won't get into specifics here, but we're seeing a lot of really exciting growth in a couple of different areas.
Okay.
So specifically in in-store, we're seeing great growth around jewelry, around furniture and auto aftermarket. So watch this space. There's some more stuff that's coming forward there. And then with our existing partners, we're seeing consistent growth and consistent desire to grow and learn with us and help them take their new-to-brand early customers and turn them into loyal card and co-brand consumers.
Great. And just final question, obviously, here at Shop Talk, what's your sort of thoughts of the event? Are you excited for the next couple of days?
Really, really excited. I think it'll be great. I think last year we all started to talk about Gen AI and what it means to retail. So I'm really curious to see what those use cases have evolved into. I think that's really what I'll be looking at on my side.
Great stuff. Well, listen, for now, Leah Skrelly, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've stepped away from Bread Financial's booth here at Shop Talk, and I'm glad to say I've had a sit down with Scott Tannen, the founder and CEO of Boll & Branch. Scott, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, really good to see you here at Shop Talk. I hope it's treating you well. Talk to me about Boll & Branch to start with. How did you first come up with the idea?
Sure. Like most people in the betting industry, I spent about the 8 years prior in the video game industry.
Okay.
It seems like a natural progression. but the truth is, my wife and I were consumers, like many people are when they're starting a company or thinking about a company. And we were moving from a queen bed to a king bed. So we needed all new sheets.
Okay.
And in shopping for them, you know, the choices the customer faces are endless.
Yeah.
And it's absolutely impossible to distinguish one from the other. So my starting point there was that, well, why is this a category everyone participates in? And yet there's no leader.
Yeah.
There's no brand that everybody knows. There's not even a brand anyone knows. And so in digging into that, we decided to spend our life savings and just make a company instead of just buying them, right? It seems natural.
Yeah. And I'm really interested to know, because we saw a lot of brands, you know, direct to consumer brands in particular, fall away, unfortunately, you know, post the pandemic when people's habits started changing again. How have you managed to buck that trend at Boll & Branch?
Well, if you think about it, when we started, right, the world didn't need another brand of bedsheets at that point. The world needed something better. Mm-hmm. And for us, we felt that the way we were going to make a better bedsheet is we had to start by making a better company.
Mm.
So everything we do from the very seed stage of the cotton right through to the finished product is fundamentally different than anybody else in our category. And when our customers first try our product, having slept in sheets their entire life, that difference becomes incredibly apparent.
Mm.
And so we've been very fortunate. Rather than, you know, we never raised a bunch of venture capital. We didn't raise any venture capital. Mm-hmm. We bootstrapped for the first several years. And in doing that, we were forced to live and die by the simple notion that you have to retain your customers.
Mm-hmm.
Customers are so expensive to acquire. So if you're not delivering an incredible product, an incredible service with that product, your ability to retain them reduces. And where we are today, we're spending probably substantially less as a percent of our total revenue on customer acquisition than most $200 million brands that sort of grew up as DTC. And I think that's enabled us to sort of buck the trend of these rising customer acquisition costs, because we're not buying our revenue, we're earning it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. Okay, and we've just grabbed you, haven't we, from a session here at Shop Talk around building innovative products, which sounds fascinating. Tell me a little bit more about how you do that at Boll & Branch.
Well, you have to do something that's fundamentally different and better, because the world is just filled with choices, and especially in these days with a DTC landscape, right? Anybody can spin up a Shopify site in about 5 minutes and sell anything under the sun. So at the end of the day, you have to give the customer something that's truly fundamentally better and worth their time to pay attention, first of all, and then even further, compelling enough to buy.
Mm. Now, what I was also interested to read were some of your creds, and you can count some very famous people amongst your customers, can't you? Tell me about that.
That's right. That's right. We, very early on, were incredibly fortunate that one former U.S. president not only bought our product, but decided to tell other U.S. presidents about it. True story. And so today we count actually four U.S. presidents as our customers. And not just one-time customers, they tried it out. One of them happens to be in our top 10 customers of all time.
No way. I love that idea of the domino effect of ex-US presidents.
I think when they get together, they just generally talk about betting.
Yeah.
Former presidents
yeah.
do.
Not politics at all.
No,
yeah,
not
absolutely.
At all.
Yeah. Now, you also talk of Vollen Branch having the mindset of a 5-star hotel, which I thought was really interesting as well. How do you ensure, I guess, that you are always focused on the customer?
Look, we're not in the sheets business. We are in the customer service business. And so we have to have a hospitality mindset. In fact, I had everybody in my company read a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. It was written by Will Gadara, a must read. But what Will puts together, not only did he run 11 Madison Park, but to me, he's one of the great marketing minds of our times, because he realizes that it's like Maya Angelou said, people will forget what you did for them, but they'll never forget how you made them feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And just finish up, tell me, what are you excited about that's coming down the line at Vollen Branch?
So for the thing that's most exciting is we're a company that's been known for the traceability of our supply chain and transparency. Mm-hmm. And we're now going to make that available to our customers. So you can flip over the label on any one of our products, and you're going to be able to see the full journey of that product. Where was it grown? Where was the cotton grown? Where was it spun, woven, finished? And we think that that's not only going to be powerful for our customers, but hopefully a great standard setter for the entire textile industry, to show that look, the industry doesn't have a great reputation, but if we all hold ourselves to higher standards, and in fact let our customers hold us to higher standards, then everyone's going to win.
Yeah. Well, let's hope you do win. We wish you all the very best. Scott Tannen, thanks for joining me at Shop Talk.
Thanks for having me.
I'm here with Jasmine Enberg, who is the principal analyst at eMarketer. Jasmine, lovely to see you.
Thanks for having me.
How's your Shop Talk going?
It's been great. I mean, it's day one and it's very busy, and I've been, walking around, talking to a lot of people, and I'm just gearing up for my session.
Yeah. So let's talk about this session. Sounds fascinating. It's around consumer and shopping habits, isn't it? Tell us about that session, the kind of trends that you are seeing.
Sure. It's a 40-minute session, and there's three of us presenting research. And my section is on social commerce and creator commerce, which is what I cover at eMarketer. And my section is really focused on debunking a lot of myths around social commerce.
I'm
sure you've seen headlines about how Meta has backtracked on many of its social commerce initiatives. Also the headlines about TikTok Shop not being a viable shopping platform. And our research shows something very different.
The opposite.
Actually. Yeah. So even as we've seen this backtracking by the social platforms and all the struggles with TikTok Shop, really people have kept on spending. And we're expecting U.S. consumers to spend about $82 billion on social commerce purchases this year. And for that figure to reach $100 billion next year, which is actually 4 times the amount we spent in 2020, which was, of course, the height of the pandemic-fueled e-commerce boom when a lot of the platforms were really rolling out a lot of commerce capabilities.
So what is it about these platforms then? You know, which brands are using these platforms effectively? What's the key to using them effectively?
Well, there's a lot of brands that are using the platforms effectively. I think the ones that come, top of mind really are in the fashion and beauty industries, things that are really expected categories. But what we've seen, especially with TikTok Shop, is that there are a lot of unexpected types of brands that really have been able to find success on the platform and really have had their products fly off the virtual and physical shelves. And a lot of that has to do with content, right? You need to create this entertaining, engaging content that oftentimes features products. And a lot of that content is created by creators.
Yeah.
And they really are the fuel behind social commerce, and one of the reasons that we've seen it become such a sticky practice, especially among younger generations.
Right. So I guess the issue, though, is that once everybody is doing it, it becomes harder to, stick out from the crowd, as it were.
What do you think is the key to capturing attention on those platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a very competitive space. Social media has democratized the commerce landscape. And one of the things that's really redefining how we shop and buy is the rise of creator-founded brands. And a lot of these brands are born on social media because creators were also created there. And they understand the value and the power of social platforms in really driving product sales. Again, you know, the key really is in the content. You want to stop the scroll. And when you do, now there are more opportunities than ever to convince users to click buy. I think the other part of that, though, and one of the things that we did see when TikTok Shop launched is that there was a lot of consumer frustration over high ad loads and the amount of shopping content. So being able to find a balance between making sure you don't lose that entertaining, engaging experience while also driving sales is you know, the big challenge.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah, it's not just about the entertainment at the end of the day, is it? You've got to drive those sales as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about Gen Z. Obviously, they're very familiar with those platforms. Mm-hmm. That's where they live, as it were. So what is the key to messaging to them, and how do you reach them? How do you speak to them?
Yeah, Gen Z spend an enormous amount of time on social media, TikTok in particular. I think the key really is A, speaking to them in their language, and B, speaking to them on the channels where they're spending their time. And again, that is social media. It can be really difficult, right? And there's a lot of brands that are worried about trying to sounding too cringy when they're speaking to Gen Z. And I mean, it can happen for sure. And again, I think that's where the role of creators is so powerful, because they have a direct line to these audiences. And they're really not only on top of trends, but also setting trends. And then making sure, again, that you're on the platforms like TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, where these consumers are and where there's also a lot of opportunities for brands to be able to reach these customers.
Just finish up by telling me about maybe some future reports that you're planning or what you're passionate about. What would you like to look into, as it were, and share with all of us?
So one of the things that I'm really passionate about is, you know, the creator economy overall, and we've just released a brand new forecast on creator revenue streams, looking at all of the different ways that creators are earning money, whether that is through brand deals, affiliate marketing, platform payouts, merchandising, tipping, subscriptions, you name it. And we've also just ran a survey on social and creator commerce, and so I will be writing various reports, really exploring the findings from both of those studies and what that means for brands and marketers going forward.
You get to be very busy by the sounds of it.
I am very, very busy. I've also been covering the TikTok ban and what I think is going to happen there. So there's
okay,
there's a lot
right.
going
yeah,
on.
That's fascinating. Yeah, brilliant. Well, Jasmine Enberg, thanks so much for joining me today. That was excellent to hear your insights.
Thanks so much for having me.
Pleased to say I'm here with Larry Gray. He is the Senior Manager, Customer Experience and Loyalty at Kipling USA. Larry, thanks so much for stopping by.
It's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Not at all. So give us an intro to Kipling USA first. What do you guys do?
So Kipling USA provides bags and accessories to our customer base. We have backpacks, we have shoulder packs, we have all sorts of bags and accessories that come along with those that we believe that our customers, it helps them to be kind of on the go, right? And carry what they need to carry while they're on the go. So that's what we do.
Okay, sounds awesome. And the wider company as well, how does this fit into the organization?
So we are part of the PAX business, which is the Kipling business, the Eastpak business, and the Jansport businesses. Okay. And then there's the outdoor businesses, which include Timberland, the North Face, Smart Wool, and a bunch of other brands. There's 12 to 13 brands, and it's a multi-billion dollar company.
Yeah, some big brands in there, household names,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it'd be great to understand. I mean, what's been a big talking point at the event here, and what a lot of brands are kind of trying to do something creative with, is Barbie. I mean, nearly every stand I go to, there's some kind of Barbie giveaway. And you've got a tie-in with Barbie as well, don't you? So tell me some more about that.
Yes, we have our tie-in with Barbie. We initially released last year when Barbie released, and it was incredible for our particular business. It really resonated with our customer base, and it done so well that we brought it back again. So we are calling it Barbie Reimagined, and we have a new line of Barbie products that we're really proud of. And we have 25 stores in the U.S., and we're an international business, but for the U.S. business, we're lining our storefronts with Barbie, with the Barbie theme, the Barbie colors. And as part of that, we have a whole line of products. But what we really enjoy right now about this launch is the fact that we have a project where we're donating money, right? We're rounding up money in our store. So on the bottom of my receipts, every purchase that's made, a shopper can round up that purchase and donate to what we call the Barbie Dream Gap Project, which is all about closing the gap by challenging gender stereotypes and helping undo the biases that hold girls back from reaching their full potential. So we've joined with Barbie in that particular venture, and we're super proud of that.
That's great. You know, that sounds like some brilliant work you're doing. Yeah. So you mentioned your customers there. Who are your customers, and how do you communicate with them?
Well, we communicate with our customers in a variety of ways. Our average customer is aged about 42. But we have customers that, you know, are as young as early 20s and up through 60s and 70s. So we have some core products that we think resonate with some of the older customers. We have the Barbie collabs and a lot of other collabs that we believe resonate with younger customers. Mm-hmm. And we use essentially every marketing channel out there, from Instagram to TikTok to Facebook to Google. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of marketing with email, and we do retargeting. And that's basically how we touch our customers. We have a loyalty program that we're super excited about, and I think there's a lot of opportunity in that for us to engage with our customers in a fun and exciting way. And so that's the other kind of tool that we have that we think is going to be a powerful component of our growth engine as we go forward.
Yeah, no, that all sounds excellent. So you talked about different customer types, different segments there. How does the customer experience differ between those different age groups, you know, say Gen Z to baby boomers? Or
Right. Yeah, so that's where personalization comes in, yeah. Right? And we're really, you know, beginning to like have serious conversations about personalization right now. We don't do a lot at the moment, but that's what Shop Talk is all about, right? We're learning about the opportunities to kind of dig into personalization and do a better job at making sure that each customer's journey is more specific to who they are and what their needs are. Mm-hmm. And so we're kind of, you know, dipping our toe in that particular water right now at the moment. Other than that, our segmentation is really product-based, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of, you know, it is, you know, based upon what product or group of products that you purchase. And then we're going to target you based upon that, giving you the content that, you know, is based upon those purchases, and then using some predictive capabilities to say maybe you would like some other things. So, Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Well, Larry Gray, thanks so much for sharing all of that. Good luck with the future, and have a great Shop Talk.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.
So I'm here with Lisa Jones, the founder and CEO of Shecom. Thanks so much for joining us, Lisa.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, what brings you to Shop Talk?
Well, Shecom as a business is very much Australia-focused, but a lot of our trends in Australia come off the back of US trends. So for us, we need to stay abreast of what's happening in the US e-commerce market, and many of our partners and software brands that we use in Australia are headquartered here. So this is, I suppose this is a research trip for us to bring back to Australia what's happening here.
And tell us a little bit more then about Shecom. How's it work?
Right, so ultimately we're a community for female-founded brand owners, in particular women in e-commerce. And for us, I think there's a lot of broader places that e-commerce brand owners can hang out, but very little specifically for women. And I think there's a particular personality trait for women-founded e-commerce brand owners who we're often doing 10 different things at once, because most of us are mums and we love to connect with each other. So here at Shecom, we bring education, but we also bring awards and retreats and live events to our community to really, essentially, we help them sell more.
And how many members do you have?
We have about 20,000 women in our extended community. Yeah.
Okay. And is that just Australia then, or are you branching out beyond?
It's predominantly Australia, but this year in 2024 and into 2025, we hope to grow into the US and also into UK, Europe.
Right. And what kind of size businesses are they then?
Yeah, they're everything from a startup micro business through to small and medium-sized businesses. That tends to be our sweet spot for female brand owners that are still really looking to educate and learn themselves before they build out a whole C-suite of other experts.
And what kind of things are you doing to support them?
Well, the best thing we can do is bring them strategies that help them sell more, because every woman I know in any stage of e-commerce is always strapped for cash. It doesn't matter whether your business is a startup or it's scaling quite quickly, money is always a problem in a business. So ways that we can help them to learn to grow their revenues and then to maximize their profit, and anything and everything in that space.
And you said that you regularly look at the trends from the US. Do you have any partners here that you're working with?
We have lots of partners here. So a lot of the software that helps women, the ecosystem, if you like, of the software stacks that we use are all headquartered and grown out of the US. So a lot of our brands, or most of our brands, are on Shopify and Klaviyo. And then a lot of the plugins and the extra services that can help them improve CRO and the user experience on their side, anything really that will help them sell more. But yes, a lot of solutions are US founded.
Right. And so what's your plan then to grow SheCom internationally?
Well, it's a very good question, but I think we're here with a bit of a finger on the pulse to see how we can grow into the US. And I think, like we would explain to many of our clients as a strategy, it isn't about cold, top of funneling a new market. It's about coming in warm with a collaboration relationship and partnerships and affiliate networks. So that's what we're here doing, finding ways that we can connect with women who are already connected to each other.
Great. Now, you're no stranger to doing a podcast yourself. You have your own podcast called She Talks E-commerce. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, one of the things we've learned is that women like to follow in the footsteps of other women, and the best way to do that is to interview them and talk to them and let our women and our community hear the things that worked, and then vulnerably the things that didn't work, all the mistakes they've made along the way. And the best format to do that is on a podcast, as I'm sure you know.
Absolutely. Well, tell us some of the topics that you've spoken about on that.
We bring women from all different size businesses in, those that are newer in their journey but have solved a problem in an interesting manner, right through to women who've exited for huge figures. And the thing that I love to observe about women is the levers that can help them succeed versus those that don't succeed. So we're always trying to unpack what are those levers.
Great. Well, one of the, just changing topic very slightly, one of the topics that we're focusing on here, because obviously we're working with Bread Financial, they've done some research, and one of the things that we've been looking at is the younger consumer, Gen Z, millennials. They tend to have a higher expectation across that whole customer experience. I was just wondering, out of the brands that you've worked with, are they doing anything different to engage that younger consumer?
Absolutely, and I think you have to, because that younger consumer, and I'm a mum and a stepmom of some of these consumers, they think differently and they have a very short attention span. So I think meeting them where they are, so changing potentially the way that you're marketing or where you're platformed, is really important, and where you're messaging your marketing, but also how you're messaging it. Because we know, for example, that the younger generations are more likely to get out of a loyalty program or get out of an SMS or email subscription because they don't like being bombarded. So we have to find ways to segment so we're not crowding the marketing to them, so that it is quite specific. And I think the younger you get, the more self-involved they get. So we need to make our marketing as brands about them and only about them.
Interesting. Okay, let's finish off, Lisa, with just coming back to SheCom. The whole concept of supporting female founders, how are you celebrating them?
Well, it's such a good point. Celebrating female founders is really important, but so is connecting them. And what we find is that most women with e-commerce brands feel often isolated and alone. Often they're working from homes or small businesses, and they're not connecting with other female founders very often. So what we delight in at SheCom is finding events and spaces, even virtually, where we can connect female founders to each other so that they can make friendships, make accountability buddies, and certainly be inspired about how they can grow their businesses. It's very important.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a fantastic job with that community. But for now, thank you so much for joining us, Lisa Jones.
Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks once again to all our guests who joined us here on Bread Financial's booth at Shop Talk.
You can find us on all the usual social media platforms, and if you want to get in touch with the show, you can do that via the contact form on our website.
But for now, from me, Russell Goldsmith, and Graham Barrett, thanks for listening and watching, and goodbye.